Hey guys, this is Robert Rochelle with D3VB West. If you follow the site or know me in any way, then you know I'm fascinated by the inner workings of the RACs. The RACs are the Regional Advisory Committees, and I'm also fascinated with the NCAA Selection Committee. The RACs are composed of a representative from each conference in a region, and there is a RAC for each region. So right now with 8 regions, we have 8 RACs. There's also a RAC chair who is also from one of the conferences in that region, but their role is to oversee the process at the regional level and interface with the NCAA. When it comes time for the NCAA tournament selection, it's those RAC chairs that basically represent their region and do their best to get at-large bids for their teams. The selection committee also consists of a selection committee chair who is one of the regional chairs. This year, it's Springfield's coach, Maura Long. So that's basically the infrastructure, as it were, on how teams get discussed and chosen for the NCAA tournament. You have to remember that the data used to select the teams are the selection criteria. There are 5 criterion, which are win-loss percentage, head-to-head results, results versus common opponent, strength of schedule, and results versus regionally ranked teams. Now today, what I want to do is I want to go back and look at one of the regions from last season, because it was really confusing what they did, but at the same time, it was really fascinating to me. The region in question was the one Maura Long chaired, and that was the New England region. Going in to the conference tournaments, the New England region had released their next-to-last regional rankings, just like everyone else had. It had Johnson and Wales at 1, followed by Bowdoin. These were two pretty obvious selections, as they each had only lost one match on the year, and Bowdoin's loss was to Johnson and Wales. So pretty simple way of just saying they're number 1 and number 2. Things were more interesting after the number 2 spot, as the New England region had Wesleyan, MIT, Wellesley, Babson, Middlebury, Springfield, Tufts, and then Amherst in the spots 3 through 10. Outside of Johnson and Wales, who was the slam dunk number 1 team, all of these other teams came from only 2 conferences in the New England region. Now, honestly, that should make things pretty easy to figure out, but we saw rather large changes to the ordering in the very last regional ranking, and that's important because it's those rankings that we use for selections. Remember that the order of ranking that the RACs produce for a region are the order that the teams are going to be considered for at-large bids. So if you're ranked 4th, then just know that the 5th ranked team is not going to be considered until that 4th ranked team is in the tournament. The last New England regional ranking had Johnson and Wales, Bowdoin, and Babson in the first 3 spots, with Babson moving from 6th to 3rd. None of these 3 teams really mattered, however, as each of these teams had won their conference and didn't require an at-large bid to get into the NCAA tournament. Historically, the New England region gets in around 3 to 4 at-large teams in a year, which always seems a little high to me. This year, the expectation was probably 3 teams, being the most they could get in, partly because the at-large pool shrunk from 20 teams down to 19 in 2018. Getting in less than 3 was probably hoped for by other regions, but I never saw Maura Long failing to get in at least 3 New England teams as at-large bids. Following the conference tournaments and with the release of the last regional rankings, we saw that Wesleyan had moved from 3rd to 4, with Wellesley staying in the 5th spot. What's interesting here is that both of these teams never made it to their conference tournament finals. Both of them lost in the semifinals. Now, conference tournament success has no bearing on the at-large criteria, but it was still intriguing, as these are really important late-in-the-season losses to other regionally ranked teams. As it turns out, they lost to regionally ranked teams that were put behind them in the final ranking. We also saw Springfield make the jump from 8th to 6th in the regional rankings, which is really important because if we believe that the region will get 3 at-large bids, then it's this position that would be the spot that the last team would come from. I should mention that Springfield beat the team just ahead of them in the rankings, Wellesley, in the conference semifinals before losing to Babson in the finals. Now, MIT was the big loser in all of this, as they dropped from 4th to 7th in the rankings. In their conference tournament, they lost in the semifinals to Babson, which was of course the same team that eliminated Springfield in the finals. In the other conference, Amherst moved from 10th to 8th, while Tufts stayed at 9 and Middlebury dropped from 7th to 10th. These three teams are all in the same conference, and their tournament saw Amherst lose in the finals, while Tufts beat Middlebury in the quarterfinal match. With that said, Tufts gave Bowdoin a much tougher match and was probably the second-best team in the conference at the end of the year. Wesleyan, the fourth regionally ranked team, was also from this conference, were swept by Amherst in the semifinals. Like I said, the conference tournament results don't matter to the selection in the selection criteria, so when I was doing my selection post last year, I had to dive into that criteria and figure out the New England rankings. It wasn't easy, and my first pass through the criteria, I still had MIT higher up the rankings than what the New England RAC ended up doing. Following the selections, I went back through the criteria and double-checked the New England RAC's work, which is kind of what I want to cover now. Now, ignoring the automatic qualifiers, my first question was whether Wesleyan deserved the number four spot in the rankings. When I looked at the criteria between Wesleyan and the next three teams in the rankings, which were Wellesley, Springfield, and MIT, there really was no clear-cut leader. MIT had the best record, but they also had the worst strength of schedule. The other three were all kind of in the middle, with Wesleyan actually having a slight edge across the board. You have to remember a couple of things when it comes to the criteria. For strength of schedule, the committees use a standard deviation, so it's not like saying a 600 SOS is better than a 599 SOS. That's just too close to be considered anything but equal. The other thing to remember with this region in 2018 is that they really didn't play anyone outside the region that was regionally ranked other than Wesleyan and Tufts. The best out-of-region win for the teams 4 through 12 was the Mid-Atlantic number 4 team, which was Franklin and Marshall. Now, Franklin and Marshall did make the tournament as an at-large team, but that was probably, in my opinion, the biggest mistake the selection committee made that year. The next biggest win was Susquehanna, which was the Mid-Atlantic number 8 team, which they Wesleyan beat them, but then again, they also lost to them during the same year. Susquehanna didn't make the tournament. I mean, think about the total lack of quality wins all of these wannabe at-large teams had in this region, and then realize that when it came to the selection committee picking these teams, one of the reasons were the decent ranked wins percentages they had. They were basically rewarding these teams for not playing anyone other than the bad teams in their own region. Regardless, I guess I'm not here to talk about that, but you know, back to Wesleyan, and when it came to those four teams, I probably could have gone in any direction other than Springfield for that number four spot. As a RAC, what I would have done then is put Wesleyan in, because their win-loss percentage and strength of schedule, in addition to a 6-5 ranked win record that did include that win over Franklin and Marshall, probably meant that they had the best chance at getting selected. Now, that's not a criterion, but it's a smart way of doing business, and my thinking is that what Moore Long and the RAC did was probably think along those same lines. For the fifth spot, that leaves Wellesley, Springfield, and MIT. Now, just for the record, Amherst had a 552 strength of schedule, which is going to be a really tough sell to the selection committee. Tufts could have been a player. They were ranked too far down the list, but they did have a tremendously high strength of schedule, but their failing was that they had a 16-10 record. The team, when it's all said and done, the team I probably don't put in the fifth spot is Wellesley. They had two head-to-head losses to Springfield, and they had one to MIT. Remember that one of the head-to-head losses to Springfield came just a day earlier in the conference tournament. No rational person could really say that Wellesley was better than Springfield at that point. If you factor in all the other criteria, it's just too close. Maybe Wellesley has a razor-thin margin, but that's when you don't factor in the head-to-head. If you factor in the head-to-head, it's a no-brainer. I guess it should also be noted that Springfield held a head-to-head advantage over MIT, and again, the criteria with them was very close. So I probably go Springfield, MIT, and then Wellesley, but that's not what the RAC did in this case. The question is why, and the answer, I believe, is the same as why Wesleyan is in the fourth spot. Wellesley just had a better chance at selection than the other two teams did to the NCAA tournament. Now, within the region, they got dinged on head-to-head, But that disadvantage goes away when you're comparing teams outside the region, which is what the NCAA tournament selection is all about. Again, the RAC disregarded the criteria to put the teams in the order they thought would have the best chance. Keep in mind the margins here were really thin, but it was the head-to-head results that blew things open, and that is the criterion that the RAC ignored. The end result was that Wesleyan, Wellesley, and Springfield all got in as at-large bids. When I was doing my selection process, and I didn't really know what the ranking was going to be, I had MIT higher up my rankings, and I really struggled to get them into the tournament. The problem was their 589 strength of schedule and the fact that their ranked wins were just of such a poor quality. The other three teams all had better strength of schedule, although their records were slightly worse. Their ranked wins were also of very poor quality, but in the end, I believe the selection committee didn't really look at them that way. In the end, the RAC valued strength of schedule, as did the selection committee, and all they had to do was throw out the head-to-head to get the ordering in such a way that they could get three teams into the tournament. Now, closer to my home, in the West RAC, we had a similar situation when evaluating Laverne and UT Dallas. Their criteria was really close, and in the end, they chose Laverne based on their head-to-head win. You can't argue it too much, but when it came time for selection, that head-to-head win was meaningless, and the West RAC basically put up a team that had a worse chance of selection. The end result there was that neither Laverne nor UT Dallas made the tournament, although a number of teams nationally that UT Dallas would have beaten in the criteria battle were given an at-large bid. Now, you can fault the New England RAC for the misapplication of the criteria, but they succeeded. You can praise the West RAC for correctly ordering their teams, but they failed. In the end, we need guidance from the NCAA on this, and they have given it by elevating Mora Long to the selection committee chair. They didn't push back on what the New England region was doing, and with her having even more power, they shouldn't be pushing back on this in the future. Each region needs to add a sixth criterion in 2019, and that is selectability. When two or more teams are really close in the criteria, the tiebreaker needs to be selectability. On my side, I often get sideways with the powers to be that the NCAA holds over the RACs and how the larger RACs seem to get away with more things. I want to make clear that's not what I'm doing here. What I'm trying to do is analyze the best practices of one of the RACs and get that for information out to the other RACs so we have a level playing field when it comes to at-large selections. It's quite possible that the larger RAC bias or even the Northeast bias that we talk about is nothing more than them being smarter. And it's just time now for the other regions to get smarter too. That's all I got for you today, guys. This is Robert Rochelle with d3vbwest.com. Make sure you check out the website, and I appreciate the time. Thanks.